So the Gemara on Bet Amud Bet, commenting on the Mishnah, right? Says that Amalei Rav Matna Labai. So Rav Matna says, so Abai asks the following question: Hatam Nehavim. Why does the Mishnah say that there are Shnayim Shem Arba Bifnim, Shnayim Shem Arba Bechutz? Right? That there are a total of 8 scenarios in the case of the Mishnah between the Baal Bayit and the Ani. Take all the cases together, 8 cases, there are really 12. Right? Why does the Mishnah say that Tamni Haven, Tarte Sari Haven, says Abayit him, if you're already going to, you know, ask. So Tameach Shitzrei Havim, if you're already asking, there aren't 12, there are 16. So Amalei Halokash. Halokash. Bishlam Abav Dereisha Patr Mutar Lokatan. Abav the Seifa, the Patr Ho Asar Kasha. Okay. Gemara then discusses what does that mean, Patr Avom Mutar. Okay. And we have a klal that Shmuel says that kol turi d'shav patur avol aser bar mehani tlat. There are only 3 cases of patur and mutar. There say that tzvi, say that nachash, meres morsa. So says the Gemara ki yitzchak le Shmuel. Shmuel is only talking about p'turei d'ka'avid, d'ka'avid ma'is. That's when you're doing something. But p'turei d'lo ka'avid ma'is, where you didn't do anything, igatuba. There are an infinite number of cases where it will be mutar. In any case, it's going to come from Tarte. Sorry, haven't. So the Gemara says, "P'turi d'atibul l'dechi of chata kachashiv, d'atibul l'dechi of chata lo kachashiv." So the bottom line is that the Gemara says that there are aside from the cases of actual chiyuv, where one person did everything and they're chayav, there are 3 levels of pater, right? 3 levels of cases that are pater in the Mishnah. There are those that are atu dechi of chata that the Mishnah counts in the 8 cases, right? That's the highest level.
Wait, sorry, what?
The first level are those peturim that are pater avol aser and are atu dechi of chata, and therefore, and there are many different interpretations of Rishon what that means, but we're not getting involved in that at the moment, or at all necessarily. But in any case, that's a different issue. But the first level are those things that the Mishnah counts amongst the 8, right? Even though they're pater, but they're pater avol aser and they're high. The second level, are the additional 4 that Rav Matna wanted to know why we don't count, because they are pater aval aser. So why, if we're counting drabbanans, why do we count some drabbanans and not others? Right, that's what he was asking Abai about. Okay, so again, we have those cases of pater which are in the first 8. We have those that are the additional 4 that Rav Matna asked about, which are pater aval aser. And then there are the ones that didn't bother Rav Matna, and that he didn't ask about, that bring the total to 16, the other 4, why didn't he ask about the other 4? Because they're pater umutter. So I understand why they're not counted. They're pater, I discussed them, mutter. We're talking about things that are aser, not things that are mutter.
Sorry, which one were Rav Matna asking about?
He was asking about the middle category, those that are pater aval aser.
Like, for example, would be case of what?
So, for example, go back to Mishnah, but if you look in Rashi on Bet Amud Bet, this next last Rashi, Arba Chiyuvei V'Tamnei P'turei Shtei Akira L'Ani B'lo Hanacha V'Shtei Hanacha B'lo Akira V'Chein L'Va'a Bayit Kigon Pasha Ani Et yado mleya lufnim natal ba'abayit mitocha hare akira la'ani v'anach la'ba'abayit oshan atal mitocha v'si hare akira la'ba'abayit v'anach la'ani v'chein pasha ba'abayit v'chulei k'tayma. In other words, they include cases like where the the Ani put his hand with the object into Rishut
Yachid,
and the Baal Bayit took it out of his hand.
No. I thought that was the Sifa. Is he asking about the Risha? Why you don't cut a tune of the Risha?
Why? Yeah. Okay, so.
Well, I'm very confused. I don't know if
there's 26 in cases. Okay, I don't think it's necessary for us to go through 6 cases. The point is that the. Okay, in other words.
I just don't understand what the question is. What is happening now?
The Mishnah counted Sahakol in the 8, right? The Mishnah counts.
8 were both in our patois?
No. The Mishnah says that. Right? Yitzir Hashad, Shtayin Shein Arba Bifnim, Shtayin Shein Arba Bachotz. Okay? Shtayin Shein Arba Bifnim, okay? The Baal Bayit, Shtayin Shein Arba Bachotz, right? For a total of 8, 4 plus 4. Of each of those sets of 4, you have 2 Daraitas and 2 Darabanas, right? Correct? That's why it's Shtayin Shein Arba, right? In addition to the 2 Drabanan cases of each, or the 4 Drabanan cases that are counted in the 8, there are another 4 Drabanan cases that are not counted.
Right, so he didn't
say
that. Yeah,
because
he's adding
only
these 2.
Okay, so Rav Matan wants to know about those cases. But what he doesn't ask about, what Abaye says, why don't you ask about? And he answers, no, that I don't have a kash about, are the 4 cases where the Ani did, where one of them didn't do anything, and therefore is pot. Okay? You say it? Okay. Tosfot, amongst others. Tosfot is really Tosfot's kasha. You must quote another Rishon's quote from Tosfot. Tosfot says, "Vim tomar haka'avar afnei iver lo titei machshol." What do you mean? It's mutter. It's not mutter. You're over on lifnei iver. Okay, that's Tosfot's kasha. Tosfot's kasha. Before we go any further in trying to understand the kasha, the terutzim, chulei. If we go any further, just in terms of the kasha, the Rashba in Avodat HaKodesh, the Rashba in Avodat HaKodesh, you have it, the quote on your source sheets, Aram Koma. So the Rashba in Avodat HaKodesh says the following. Bamedro Murim Bishanatan Chaveru Tochi Ado, Aval Imna Talza Mitochi Ado Shal Chaveru Vichnis Otsi, Hanotel Chayav. Vasheni patur. Okay, that's the case that we're talking about, right? Shelo asa v'lo klum. If someone else, if the second person took it out of my hand and did the akira and the hotzah and hanacha, so I didn't do anything. So hanotel chayav vasheni patur. Shelo asa v'lo klum. V'yesh mi shahora sha'asur lasov kei mishum lefnei iver l'titei mechshol. It's a fascinating Rashba. What's interesting about this Rashba? What do I know after reading this Rashba that I did not know from reading Tosfot? What do I now know? What? Absolutely. Okay, that the assumption of Tosfot.
If you would have read wine further, then you would have known. No.
You're talking about different circumstances, and under different circumstances, whether there's going to be a daraita or a drabanan, right? Whether even some cases where there's not going to be any Easter at all, in a very, very specific ukimta.
But we're talking about this case. Like, he's not looking at the Kintan case, he's using Tosos to say about this case. His kasha.
To my pronoun, I don't know what he's referring to.
He's talking about the case that the Avodah Kodesh just ordered, right?
No. The Gemara, the Mishnah / Gemara's case, okay?
Which is the same case as the Avodah Kodesh.
The Mishnah in the Gemara's case, Tosa comes along and says, if I hold it out and then someone takes it from me and I do nothing, granted I haven't done Hotzah, even Midrabanan, but why isn't it Aser anyhow? Gemara says it's Mutter. Why isn't it Aser? Because of, let's say, Neiver, Choy. Okay? Tosa then tries to suggest possibilities for why in a particular, if we say it's talking about this, or we say it's talking about that, or we make this distinction, maybe we'll say that maybe, you know, it's totally trying to find a case in which
it wouldn't be
with me. But HaKosh is saying that Yesh Misha Hora Sha'asur laso came mishum of nei ivra l'tem meshal. It's not in a particular case. He's saying bechlal. There are those who say there's an Easter of nei ivra here. Okay. Mashma that this is not everyone's opinion. It's not even necessarily most Rishon's opinion as far as Mashma is concerned. Yesh mishahor. Yesh mishahor is basically the Tosva. It's not the Tosva. In fact, you look in the Chidusha Rashba. Similarly, he says this is a kasha. You know. Ravnei Tzarfah, whatever Chachmei Tzarfah, but the point is that I'm just saying Tosa starts with an assumption and then tries to deal with it. He deals with it one way. Other Rishonim, right? The Rosh may deal with it a different way. But say it. But the common ground of Tosa and the Rosh, let's say, and the Tosa Yishanim or whatever, different, that is basically that they're assuming that there is a problem. The question is, you say we don't care about Lifnei Iver, that's not what we're discussing, or do you say that we have to limit our case to a very, very specific case? Right? We're talking about that. The other person is a non-Jew, and it's his object, not the whole range of what the Mishnah could mean. If the limit, it's a very much an Ukimda. So the question is, and I'm just pointing out, we're not going to discuss this branch, or we're going to look at Tosfot and work with Tosfot's assumption, and I'd like to just clarify what Tosfot is saying. But I want to point out, we should be aware that it's not a Dover Pasha. Right? It's not for sure that this is necessarily an issue with Neiver. This may not be an issue with Neiver at all. Now we have to ask, why is it not an issue with Neiver? Okay, and that's a different discussion, but I want to just make you aware of, and especially to be sensitive to when you read something like this, it's very important to see what is said, it's very important to see what's implied. The most interesting thing about this line of our Kosh is not the point that he says that, you know, not the fact that he informs us that there is such an opinion that it's asim shum fnei iver. That we would know from many other sources. But the implication of it, that which is not articulated, but it's clearly implied that there are those who do not feel that there's an issue with Neiver here. Okay, so that's an important caveat in approaching this whole thing. But we're going to work with Tosa. Okay, that was just a footnote. This day now. So Tosa says in Toma Baka Alfnei Iver Lotem Shol Bafilu Mairi. Okay, that's point number one. So why do you say it's Mutter about Alfnei Iver? Bafilu Mairi Shaya Cholit Lo Afilu Hayabi Ado. So maybe you'll say that we're talking about a case where he could have, where the person who's chayav could have done the whole Easter without my help. Okay? Could have done the whole Easter without my help. None, and therefore there's no lo with Ne'iver, if you want to say that, right? Delo Avar Mishum with Ne'iver, and therefore there's no with Ne'iver. One second. Right, so you'll tell me, well, Ne'iver is only if it's Trey Yivrei Denara. It's only if the person can't do it without me, right? The Nazir, I hand the Nazir the wine, and he's on the other side of the river, so he can't get to it unless I pass it to him. But if he were on the same side of the river, he could pick it up himself, and I pass it to him. Right? We're sitting at dinner together, and I pass him the wine, but he could have gone up and gotten it himself. So it's not lifnei iver. I'm not chayav mishum lifnei iver. But says Tosfot, that's true, but miha ika shachayav lafrish. We call them isa drabanan miha ika. Sorry. Nonetheless, there is an isa drabanan. Why shachayav lafrish mi isur? Now, I just want to point out, we're not going to get into this in great depth, but I want to point out that this is not precisely lifnei iver mi drabanan. This is really a different drabanan. It's not really an extension of lifnei iver, and there's what to discuss about this, but we're not going to get into it right now. I just want to point out that there are nafkaminas even chayav lafrisho is not a drabanan of lifnei iver. The yisod of lifnei iver is that I am misguiding someone. Okay, that's the idea of lifnei iver. I'm giving them bad advice. It can be bad advice about business. It can be bad advice about a relationship. It can be bad advice about a job. It can be bad advice about whatever. Included in that is misguiding someone by facilitating their doing an avera. However, that's lifnei iver. Chayav lafrisho mi'isur is a little bit of a different idea. It means that I have a responsibility to try to see to it that people are not doing isur, and to try to take them away from isur. Say it's more of a, in a sense, a more positive chiyuv rather than lifnei iver, which is more of an isur. However, and there are differences, but in any case, I just want to point that out. But for our purposes, we'll call it, but there's a chiyuv drabanan lafrisho mi'isur. So, that being the case, that there's still a drabanan, even if it's chad ivra denara, right? Even though it's not trei ivra denara, even though I'm not indispensable, even though he can do the Easter without me, there's still a chiyuv drabanan lafrisho mi'isur, right? So, if that's the case, and he demonstrates this from. He says, "Kidatani b'shili pirkin, nodem mizonot lenhafid b'chatzar." I'm sorry, I skipped. Let's try again. Vafilu. Okay, so there's still a chiyuv lafrisho mi'isur. So how can we say it's a mutter? We're still back to the same question. We haven't accomplished anything by saying that it's chad ivra denara. It just takes it from a daraita to a rabbanan, but we need to get it to a level of mutter. Is not good enough. So Tosa tries again. Vafilu imari benachri. So maybe we want to say that it's talking about a non-Jew. Tilo shayach lifnei iver, where there's no iser lifnei iver. Miu iser drabanan miya ika, but there's still an iser drabanan. Because a tiny mishul pirkin, not mizonot lenachri bechatzer, not loviatzo einis kakam lo, mashma adav kishanachri bechatzer, aval im omei bechutz, poshe yadol lefnim, mashma da asur li ten lehedya, amanat lehotzi. Okay, Shlomo Demai Benachri v'chevet shal Nachri. Afilu machlis motzi kol yom enkan iser klal. Kemen she'en achevet shal baal bayit. Okay, let's try to understand the rest of this also.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Are they really leading?
Was it
the whole case where you're not doing something?
In which case?
In the risha, when you have somebody who's high and somebody who's.
No, in which case does.
With the Nachri, he says, Litian, it shouldn't be Litian, it should be enough.
No, but that's in. He's talking about the Gemara and Yutet. Seeing the implication, the Gemara and Yutet is that there's an Iser to give it to the Nachri if.
If you're not giving
it
to the Nachri, you're holding it out there, then no way. What?
Same, because. You're not actually putting it in his hand. You're just holding out your hand.
If you're putting it in his hand, that wouldn't be the ratio. It would be the same for the Mishnah. That's the point of the ratio of the Mishnah where you're not putting it in, where you're just standing there holding out your hand. You're putting it in his hand.
No. The case where you're putting it in his hand is where you're putting it in his hand in a different ratio. No, which case are you talking about?
In the cases where one is high and one is pater that we're talking about in the Risha, it's either that the one standing in the Risha Tarabin is putting it into his hand.
Let's read it carefully. Which case? Give me a case.
Yeah, so the first one. Case that. I'm going to do a chutzpah by
the Risha. Wait, let me find a place. You're talking about which case?
The second line of the Risha.
Second line. Okay, Keta. Ha'ani omeid b'chutz. Ba'al bayit b'fnim. Good. Pashat ha'ani et yadol l'fnim. Okay.
And he put it
on the top of
the
shabbat. Rabbi's
not taking
out
this hand.
Pashat ha'ani et yadol l'fnim. V'natal tok yadol shabbat bayit. So the in that case, what happens?
That's why Rabbi's
pastor. Right.
The Rabbi hasn't done anything.
Correct.
But here, he's saying, like,
we change
that the
Baal Bayit
is putting it in the hand of the
Nachri. Well, wait a second. Pashani et yadol l'fnim, v'natal tok yadol shel Baal Bayit, o mitocha.
And he's taking it from
the Baal Bayit. Right.
Even Baal Bayit is not doing anything. That's all.
Correct.
That's why Baal Bayit is concerned.
Right.
But in the Torah school, he's saying that in our case, that word that the Baal Bayit putting it into the hands of the ani, which is a huge bit into the hands of the Nachri, which is a huge difference. That makes it more in the case of the ratio of the safe of the Mishnah of the ratio.
Yeah, I think you're mixing together two issues which are separate. One is the issue of what part of the malacha each person is doing. And the other is the issue of the question of the responsibility for what the non-Jew is going to do. So that's not about the issue of what my responsibility for what the non-Jew is going to do.
So I'm not dealing with the innovation,
the same
thing,
just
dealing with that in general.
Yeah. You'll see, I think it's become a little clearer as we go on. Okay? Okay, so I want to ask a question. Tosfos says, let's go back a little bit. Tosfos says that, Vafilu imari benachri, second thin line, right? Vafilu imari benachri delo shayach lifnei iver mi yisid rabbanan mia ika. Let's pause for a moment. That one line, let's focus on for a minute. Okay? Even if we're talking about a non-Jew and there's no yisid lifnei iver, what does that mean? What does that line mean? Afilu imari benachri delo shayach lifnei iver. Let's just explain that one little sentence. What does that mean? Tell me what that means. Vafil, the second thin line. Vafilu imari benachri delo shayach lifnei iver. Period. Before we even go anywhere. What does that mean? I'm not sure we understand. What does that mean? What's Tosfos saying?
Literally? Or how does he say that?
No, what is he saying?
Lifnei
iver doesn't apply to not. In other words, there's no that I am not chayav on lifnei iver if I cause the nachri to do nisa. Correct? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It doesn't make, yeah. That's what then he has to be wrote. It's very hard to understand.
That's what Tosa's saying? That's why we had to do Tosa, to make sure that you're not misled. Is that what Tosa's saying?
No.
Could Tosa be saying? Next question. Is there an Easter of Lifnei Iver on a non-Jew?
There's no Easter
of
anything on a
non-Jew,
I thought.
What? Do, if I cause a non-Jew to do something that's Asa for them, is there an Easter of Lifnei Iver? In other words, what?
If I, you know, Easter is of there,
does my chiyuv of Lifnei Iver apply only when I am mislead? Let's forget about Easter for a moment, okay? Let's talk about Lifnei Iver. If I trick, if I give bad advice deliberately, I deliberately give bad advice to a Jew, I'm chayav on Lifnei Iver, correct? Good. If I give bad advice or deliberately mislead, not, I make a mistake, you know, I gave him my best, you know, advice, I was wrong. I'm not talking about that. But if I deliberately mislead or give bad advice to a non-Jew, am I chayav on Lifnei Iver? I'll give you a hint. The answer is yes, absolutely. Okay, there's no distinction. The same Easter applies. It doesn't matter. Lifnei Iver, you're chayav on Lifnei Iver, whether the person you are tricking, misleading, giving bad advice to, whatever you want to call it, whether the person you are causing to stumble is a Jew or not, there's no distinction. Okay? You take a look at Minchas Chinuch, this is very clearly. Okay. But it's clear, Lifnei Iver applies, it's not limited to a Jew. Okay? If I cause a non-Jew to do an Iser, I give Eiver Menachai to a non-Jew. Am I chayav on Lifnei Iver? 1,000%.
Why though?
1,000%.
It's a good thing. So it's giving advice. Like if you tell them to invest in something and it's a bad idea,
Lifnei Iver.
And that's Lifnei Iver. But if you're telling them to do an Iser, then they don't have to do anything anyway.
Yeah, they're not allowed to.
Shabbos
Obeinah.
You're
good. Right, and so I said, if I'm giving Eiver Menachai, it's Asa to Benoch, I give Eiver Menachai to a non-Jew. Okay? Is it Lifnei Iver? You know the answer. How do I know? How do I know whether or not it applies to a non-Jew? Is there a Gemara any place?
Yeah.
Gemara in Avodah Zarah, right? That's what the Gemara is talking about. When it talks about Trey Ridinar, Chai Ridinar, but it talks about, it says, there's Lifnei Iver on, that's the whole point of the Gemara, there's Lifnei Iver on a Ben Noach, right?
But that almost seems like, this is about Shabbos.
Oh, Beseder, excellent. You're absolutely right, but one step at a time. But first, but I asked you before whether Tosa is telling me that there's no Easter of Lifnei Iver vis-a-vis a non-Jew, right? And you all said yes. That's what Tosa is saying. But clearly, that look at the Gemara of Arzar, you see that's clearly not true. Clearly not true. There's an Easter of Lifnei Iver on for a Jew vis-a-vis a non-Jew. Okay, I give every man a chai to a non-Jew. Trey every denara, I'm chayav, I get malka, the whole works. Okay, now, so what does Tosa say? So, say correctly. Once again, we're talking about Shabbos. We're not talking about Eiver Menachai. Oh, now we're getting someplace. Tosa's not saying that, and again, he's saying, but Tosa says it. No, Tosa does not say it. We thought Tosa says it. You have to read Tosa carefully. What does Tosa say? Let's read the line again. Okay? Vafilu imairi benachri delo shayach lifnei iver. So it's not saying that there's no Easter of Lifnei Iver ever.
In this case,
in other words, when we're discussing something particular, we're saying if I give an object to a non-Jew and he does hotzah on it, right? I hand it to him and he does hotzah, so is it Lifnei Iver? Is it Lifnei Iver?
No.
No, of course not Lifnei Iver. Why is it not Lifnei Iver? It's not a mitzvah that he's obligated in. Right? If I give him Eiver Menachai, I am chayav on Lifnei Iver. But if I give him, you know, so to speak, an Easter of Shabbos. So Beseder, he's not commanded on Shabbos. He can do it. So it's not with Neiver. Right? So there's no. So you, says Tosar. And if you want to say that we're talking about a non-Jew, so therefore my holding the object and it's taking from me is not with Neiver, because there's no with Neiver on a non-Jew, you know, doing an Easter on Shabbos. So 1 second. Mihu Easter Drabanan Mia Ika Kitaim Shili Pirkin Notanim Mizonot Lanachri Bachatzer Nadlo Biyatso in his Kakimlo Mash Madabik Shanachri Bachatzer Aval Im Omeid Bachut Subashai Adolphim Mashmada Sulitain Lahad Yamanat Lohotzi. Now, 1 second. So why is there an Easter Drabanan? What does that mean? Is Easter Drabanan of Lufnei Iver for what's going on? What's so saying? But the non-Jew is not chayav on Shabbos, so why is there even a drabban looking at you there?
Because it's your
things.
Meaning, like, so you're getting a lot from it? Ish,
sort of. Say better. No, what's the answer? You know the answer. Who tells us the answer?
Rashba.
Rashi. What does Rashi say? Oh, you get to Rashi? I thought you finished that. Okay. Rashi says, right, Rashi and Yudchet. So Rashi says as follows. Rashi and Yudchet and Bet is the same sugya that Tosa points us to. Rashi says, a very important line is what's discussed, but Rashi says that, I say as follows. El Kadeshi Agia, Hanafu Beit Tomi, Vod Yom, Bachagab Bidei Katara, Machmir Beit Shammai, Demichlet Bishlucha. Okay, now what's discussed about this, etc., and the parameters, and what, and the point to whom. But the Kitzur, the point here is not that it's usur for the non Jew, and therefore it's usur for me to cause him to do this. That's not the point at all. It's that it looks. Right, it's all quite huge sugya with lots of parts, but b'kitzur nimratz, the point is that it's not, Tosa's not saying that, well, there's no lifnei iver d'oraita, but there's a drabanan of it. No. I think that lifnei iver is taken care of entirely, d'oraita, drabanan, everything. There's no lifnei iver if we're talking about my causing a non-Jew to do hotzah and shabbos. Right? Because he's allowed to do chutzah on Shabbos, so it's not lifnei iver. Not d'oraita, not d'rabbanan. So saying there's a different issue. We have the sugya at the end of the first parak that talks about circumstances under which I can't do something where it's going to look like the non-Jew is doing something for me on Shabbos. Okay? This is a whole area in Shabbos about what things you can, where can I have a non-Jew doing work and it looks, you know, it's clear that it's mine, or, you know, if I'm giving him something to work on of mine and I bring my car into the shop, you know, Erev Shabbos and stuff like that. In any case, I'm, you know, my fields being plowed by non-Jews on Shabbos, all kinds of different scenarios. But the point is that Tosa is saying that forget about Lifnei Iver, there's a different issue. The different issue is that if I'm handing him my object to, you know, and he's going to do hotzah on it in it's a clear fashion that he's taking it from me and doing hotzah. So there may be this question of it looking like he's doing it from me and b'chulei. So says Tosfot, and this is the answer to, I think, you asked me the other day about, what's that? What are we talking about? There's an Easter Rabbanan, but he's not chayav in Shas, right? So understand. This Tosfot is tricky because everything that Tosa says here is true. I mean, it made machloket about, but everything he says is reasonable and plausible, etc. And he says everything clearly, but it is very easy, because it's terse, it's very easy to misunderstand almost everything he says. Okay? Because the issue keeps on switching. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, you have to read it very carefully. When he says that there's no lifnei iver, it doesn't mean that there's no lifnei iver for ben och. It means that there's no lifnei iver on that which he's not chayav on. Remember, he's not doing nisus, it's not lifnei iver. Then he's saying, but even though there's no issue of lifnei iver, but there's a different issue, there's an issue mitzad me, there's an issue in terms of me, that I'm giving it to him, and it looks like he's doing it for me. Ah, so for that already, we have an answer. Right? If we were talking about the problem is that he's doing otzah in terms of himself, so then it wouldn't help that it's his object. The point is that if it's my object, we have the issue of the sugi at the end of the first paragraph. But if it's his object, he can carry all he wants. And it has nothing to do, it doesn't matter, I can hand it to him and he can carry it, and, you know, b'chulin, no problem. Okay? So, you know, if I have a non-Jewish neighbor and he kicks his ball into my yard and then I hand it to him and he takes it out to Rosh Hashanah, there's no problem because there's no issue of it's near a kashulcha or anything of that kind, so it's not a problem in the first place. Okay.
So what you do with this now is you all have non-Jewish
neighbor for Rosh Hashanah. I'd say that's a whole big area of what is okay, what isn't okay, what circumstance. Again, I'm not saying that everything's awesome by any means, but there are a lot of details as to when and how, and it's a whole area. It's a whole thing. It's not a one thing. Okay, Kitzur, this is what Tosfot is saying. Okay, this is what Tosfot is saying. On a certain level, there's a much simpler approach. And if you look on the side of the page, in the margin, the outer margin, if you can read it, see where there are two sentences and two lines. At the end, the bracket says Taf Yud. Okay, Taf Yud means Tosfot Yeshanim. Okay, and these are additions to Tosfot from other collections of Tosfot, the manuscripts, etc. And Tosfot Yeshanim says something which we also find in other Rishonim, but it's right here, very. Very concise form. We find also in Rashba, mentions that Inami Yeshlomad Mikomakom Iser Shabbat Pater Mutter. Okay, Tosfot Yeshanim gives what on a certain level is the simplest answer, and that is that when we say Pater Mutter, we're talking about Chotzah. We're not talking about other issues. There may be other issues, but I'm not sure. Pater. When we say it's Pater Mutter, we mean in terms of Chotzah. Back then, with Ne'iver, okay, with Ne'iver is a different issue. I cannot mean maybe an issue with Ne'iver. Tosfot does not say that, right? Tosfot rather says that we're talking about a case of where the other person is a non-Jew and it's his object, and right, and has this whole heavy tinsa. The Rashba. Says he quotes Tosfos Kasha and their answer, and then he says v'zedocha gadol. That's really a very forced answer, very difficult answer. Va'od ani chayev ka'amar v'goy mi'ika lemeimar hachli. It doesn't fit because we're saying that when it's patra muta for me, it's chayev for the other guy. How can the other guy be chayev if we were talking about a non-Jew? And so we're forced to say that. We're forced to say that even though it sounds like we're talking about one case, it's really a split case, right? That's kind of spliced together. In terms of the person who is holding it and not doing anything, we're talking about a case of where he is holding it and a non-Jew takes it from him. But in terms of the person who is discussing taking it from him and thereby being chayav, we're talking about if you were to be a Jew. Okay, so that's not a simple thing to say. But even aside from that, even if you want to, given that you're not bothered by that, the first thing is, it doesn't say that we're talking about a non-Jew holding his own, his own object. That's a lot of ukimta to stick into the Mishnah. And I want to just mention something which I mentioned at the very, very, very beginning of the year, and I'd like to repeat again and kind of come full circle. I think it's very, very important, and I think that in a certain sense, the Rashban and Tosfos Yom Tov on one hand, and Tosfos on the other hand, need to be put together and understood. Again, there's a machloket as to how to understand it, no doubt. And I'm not saying they agree with each other, but in a certain sense, they are complementary. I mean, they accept both, but in a certain sense, they're complementary. And certainly, the Rashba and the Tosfos Yom Tov helps us to understand the Tosfos.
Tosfos Yom Tov or Tosfos Yishan?
I'm sorry, Tosfos Yishan. I was thinking of something. Anyhow, you're not the only one. Tosfos Yishan and the Rashba and others are really very relevant to understanding the Tosfos as well. And so I want to repeat something I said at the very beginning of the year. I think it's very important in learning in general, and one of the reasons I want to come back to this point. Rav Shri Ragon has a fascinating tshuva. It was written together with his son Rav Haigon. Haigon's the last of the great Gaonim. When he died in 1038, it's considered the end of the period of the Gaonim. Rav Shri Ragon and Rav Haigon were Gaonim, Rosh Yeshiva, one after the other, and a period where they worked together, wrote many tshuvot together. And one of the things that they wrote together is what's known as the Ger Rav Shri Ragon, but it's a tshuva to community one. This Ger Rav Shri Ragon is a very, very important, it's a long tshuva. It's often published as a separate sefer. Get all kinds of editions of, there are many, many different editions that have different strengths and advantages to them. But in any case, without getting involved in that, Ger Rav Shri Ragon is a very important work that was used by the Rishonim. Sometimes they mention it by name, and sometimes they incorporate things from Ger Rav Shri Ragon without mentioning it by name. But if you're familiar with Ger Rav Shri Ragon, you know that they're referring to that. Sometimes there are pieces of Ger Rav Shri Ragon that even make their way into the Gemara. First part of Sanhedrin is an example of that. Be that as it may, Rav Shri Ragon and Ger Rav Shri Ragon is basically a discussion of the history of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's basically what it is. From earliest times through the period of the Gaonim. It's a very, very important historical document. There's a tremendous amount of the, especially about the period of the Gaonim, and to some degree before that we know only from the Ger Rav Shri Ragon. It's a very, very important and used document. It gives us a lot of perspective on the whole process of Torah Shebaal Peh. One of the things he says there is as follows. He says that when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi formulated the Mishnayot, when he taught the Mishnayot, I should say, to his Talmidim, he taught it with what was like the forerunner of the Gemara. When he taught the Mishnayot, he taught it together with an explanation. Okay, he taught it together. In other words, people would memorize the Mishnah, but then there was an understanding of it that went along with it. There was the text, and then the Mishnah was the text, and there was the commentary, the explanation. And that consisted, he said, of three things. Primarily, three basic things. One is mantana plonihu, okay, where sometimes something is said anonymously, but it's a particular shita and not divrei kol. That's one clarification. Number two, chisurei mechzera b'hachi katani. Okay, different discussion another time. And finally, hacha b'mayaskina. Okay, what kind of case are we talking about? When is this true? Right? We have something in the Mishnah. When is this the case? Inukimta. And what's behind that, and again, I'm repeating myself from the very beginning of the year, but very briefly, what's behind that is the idea that anyone who's ever dealt with real shilas knows that in real life, in a normal case, this is true in halacha, it's true in a parallel way in science. In normal everyday life, we don't find one principle at play in a pristine form, all by itself, without impact of anything else. That's not real life. Okay? In science, we know that they have these incredible but all these incredible, setups to create extreme artificial circumstances in order to be able to isolate a particular principle of science without interference from other things. That's why you can have a theory, and say the history of physics knows that there are theories that existed for hundreds of years, and they worked, and they, you know, and no one had any problems, because under normal circumstances, it looks like that's what's going on, because of the fact that you really need an extreme or unusual circumstance to be able to isolate the principle that you really want to study. The same thing is true in Torah. That's very often, normally, when you have a real shaila that comes up, it's not one principle. Okay, this is a case of, you know, whatever principle in halacha. Usually you have to weigh in. There's this factor, and there's this issue, and there's this principle, and they affect each other, and what would normally be the case because of principle A is obscured because it's changed or neutralized by principle B and so on. If you want to see one principle, clearly, you want to discuss just one principle, so you have to talk about one of these strange cases, you know, that he was standing on his left foot, jumping up and down, you know, while scratching his left ear, and that's on Wednesday, and that's what we're talking about. But that's part of the Mishnah, that's part of the way the Mishnah is set up, because sometimes we want to focus on one issue, it's necessary to cancel out all the other potential, you know, distractions which would come into play in a normal case. And that's why sometimes you have a Mishnah that says something that sounds, you know, like very broad, and you find out it's only talking about a very, very rare, strange case. Like, why is that what we're talking about? But if you understand that the Mishnah is not just trying to tell you something pragmatic, but also something conceptual, so sometimes we can understand it a lot better. I think that's what's going on in Tosa. You know, Tosa fundamentally is really along the same lines as the Rashba and the Tosa Yeshana. In other words, what is Tosa really saying? Tosa is saying that, look, the Mishnah wants to tell us a case, the Mishnah is trying to tell us where there is and where there's an Isur, and where it's not, where it's pater, where it's chayav, where it's mutter, wants to tell us that there are cases where it's, or the Gemara wants that, wants to tell you that in terms of Mishnah, there are some of these cases are mutter, where they're mutter because you haven't done anything. Now, what we are really interested in talking about in this sugya is hotzah. It's not a sugya about lefnei iver, it's a sugya about hotzah. But Tosa is saying that perhaps we have to understand the Mishnah as talking about a very extreme, an unusual or a very limited case in order to separate out the different issues and to focus just on Hotzah, right? And the place where you're going to see that in terms of Hotzah, it's Mutar, as we were talking about a non-Jew and it's his object, because otherwise, you have to also deal with another factor, which is the factor of Fnei Iver. And then you never get to the point where you see the issue of Mutter, because, yeah, but Mutter becomes Mitzah HaTzah, but what does that do? You're still going to be Aser because of Fnei Iver. So it's a moot point whether it's Aser Mitzah HaTzah or not. Whether you say that the Mishnah is talking about, you know, this aberrant case in order to highlight this idea, which is what the Rashban Tosu Yishan talk about, whether you just say that, well, we're just ignoring other, it's really not as big a difference as it may seem at first. And when you first look at the Rashban on the one hand and Tosu on the other hand, it looks like they're very, very different. I think that to a certain degree they're really describing the same issue, but just from slightly different sides. Again, not to say they agree, I'm not saying they explain the mission the same way, but really they're working with the same basic issues, the same basic ideas. It's really essentially the same thing, but coming from a little bit of a different angle. But what I really want to highlight is this idea about the way that the Mishnah works and relative to the Gemara, and this principle of Iker HaShirgon, which I think is very important. No one hasn't gone through Iker HaShirgon. Bal Toshval Pets are very wisdom. It's a very worthwhile thing to look at. Some parts are going to be more significant than others, but there's some very important things. Okay, be that as it may, this is really what I wanted to bring out in terms of this Gemara and in terms of Tosfot. The Rush, I think that if you look at the Rush, you see the things that we said a little more clearly than it's said in Tosfot, and it's a confirmation of the ideas that we discussed. There are other aspects of the Shita, we didn't do everything, but and certainly other parts of Sukkia, but I think that this gives us a little bit of a perspective on what Tosfot is saying and what Tosfot is not saying. And I think there are a number of important methodological points here, which is why I wanted to include this. Do one last thing, really one and a half last things. I'd like to just yes.
A few ago, what was the second thing that he?
The second of the three.
Yeah.
I don't remember the order that I said in last time. I certainly don't remember the order in which he says it. But the three things are, and you'll see which one you're missing. The three things are mantana plonihu, okay, mantana plonihu, hachab mayaskina, which is the one that's relevant here. And chisure mechsera v'hachi tefani.
Which is
what? That's a good question. That requires a whole long discussion itself. That's why I was avoiding it. But basically, it's where the Gemara comes along and tells us that the text of the Mishnah or Braita under discussion, in this case, from Mishnah, is defective. There's something missing. There's something that should be there that isn't there, and you have to add in whether that's a girsa issue, really, whether it's a question of clarifying the meaning, in other words, that something is not articulated and it's taken for granted, whether it's a question of taking a source and a source that rather than removing it and replacing it, you're reinterpreting it. There are all kinds of different approaches, ideas. But that's a whole discussion. But that's the basic idea of chisuri master means that there's something missing. V'hachi katani. This is what it should say. Okay, that's the basic idea. Okay, I think I got through everything I wanted to here. I have this nagging feeling like I left something out, but nope. What can you do? Okay, what I'd like to do next is simply to a few words about Erev Tevshelin. Okay, I could share with you a small little ha'ara. But back many years ago, back when
I think you were not over the hill yet.
When I was not yet over the hill, correct? When I was pretty much your age, Talmud learning Sefer Beitza for the first time, I think, or somebody in Shir for the first time, and. I'd like to share with you a small ha'ara from those days, and special place for me, but whatever. But it's just that I think methodologically it's an interesting point, and again, today is devoted to a little bit about the learning of Mishnah, and with that we're going to conclude. And then I'd like to just take a few minutes to wrap up, and zeh.
So,
I think we're well on schedule for finishing bright and early, as we said. Okay.